Krishna. I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Charitamrita class. And today we are very fortunate to have with us His Grace Jayananda Gaurang Prabhuji to enlighten on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela 7.8 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining this session and giving your very valuable time and association this morning. I hand over the call to Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Om Agnihane Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalagaya Chakshurumin Ritamyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtham Stapitham Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatha Anvidam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Rathamsha Namavum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimati Jayapataka Swamitinamini Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayini Gaurakatha Damadai Nagaragramatharini Namavum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamitinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishishishu Nivadi Pashyati Adeshatharini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela 7.8 through 7.13. Tumara darshana ye paaye se bhagavan, tuma ka dhekiye yena sakshat bhagavan. Translation. One who receives your audience is fortunate indeed, for you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Text 9. Since one who remembers you is purified, why should it be astonishing that one becomes purified by seeing you? One can immediately purify his entire house simply by remembering exalted personalities, to say nothing of directly seeing them, touching their lotus feet, washing their feet, or offering them places to sit. The fundamental religious system in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Unless empowered by Krishna, one cannot propagate the Sankirtana movement. You have spread the Sankirtana movement of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it is evident that you have been empowered by Lord Krishna. There is no question about it. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya has brought to our attention this quotation from Narayana Samhita. Dvaparer Janer Vishnu Pancharatre Stru Kevala Kevale Kalau Tu Nama Matrena Pujate Bhagavan Hari. In the Dwapar Yuga, one should satisfy Krishna or Vishnu only by worshipping opulently according to the Pancharatri Ki system. But in this age of Kali, one can satisfy and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari simply by chanting his holy name. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that unless one is directly empowered by the causeless mercy of Krishna, one cannot become the spiritual master of the entire world, Jagat Guru. One cannot become an Acharya simply by mental speculation. The true Acharya presents Krishna to everyone by preaching the holy name of the Lord throughout the world. Thus, the conditioned souls, purified by chanting the holy name, are liberated from the blazing fire of material existence. In this way, spiritual benefit grows increasingly, full like the waxing moon in the sky. The true Acharya, the spiritual master of the entire world, must be considered an incarnation of Krishna's mercy. Indeed, he is personally embracing Krishna. He is therefore the spiritual master of all the Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And all the ashramas, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasa, since he is understood to be the most advanced devotee, he is called Paramahamsa Thakur. Thakur is a title of honor offered to the Paramahamsa. Therefore, one who acts as an acharya, directly representing Lord Krishna by spreading his name and fame, is called as the Paramahamsa Thakur. And then we will read our last verse. You have manifested the holy name of Krishna throughout the entire world. Anyone who sees you is immediately absorbed in the ecstatic love of Krishna. Panchakalpaturbhyascha kripasindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So we have three learning objectives for this morning. The first learning objective is the person who's speaking this, which is Vallabha Bhatta. So the first learning objective will be, who is Vallabha Bhatta? The second learning objective is to explain the glories of chanting the holy name of Krishna. And the third learning objective is explain the effect of the presence of Lord Chaitanya. So the first learning objective is, who is Vallabha Bhatta or Vallabhacharya? So Vallabha Bhatta, he appeared in 1479 in South India in a Telugu speaking family, and he disappeared in the year 1531. So in a sense, he appears in the lineage of the Rudra Sampradaya, which is coming through Vishnu Swami. But then he also detached himself from the tradition to some extent. And Vallabhacharya, he traveled extensively in India to engage in philosophical debates. So very notably, he has written commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. They have extensively propagated the Srimad Bhagavatam in their lineage. He has written a commentary on that called a Subhodini. And then he also wrote a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra called as Anubhashya. But then this Anubhashya was not completed by Vallabhacharya during his during his lifetime in the here, but it was completed by his son later. But very interestingly, he also wrote a commentary on the Purva Mimamsa. So the Purva Mimamsa is the commentary on the Karma Kanda portion, which was written by Jaimini Muni. And so he interestingly wrote a commentary even on that part. And there are many books that are attributed to him. We also know the verses called as Madhurashtakam, which is also attributed to Vallabhacharya. And then he belongs to, even though he detached himself from the Vishnu Swami's lineage, Vishnu Swami belongs to the Rudra Sampradaya, and the philosophy is called as Shuddhadvaita. Okay, so and this is the same philosophy which was also propagated by the same name which was propagated by Vallabhacharya as well. And this Shuddhadvaita distinguishes itself, which is called pure non-dualism, distinguishes itself from the Kevala Dvaita propounded by Shankaracharya. So there are two kinds of Advaitas. One is called as Kevala Dvaita, which was propounded by Shankaracharya, which is the Mayavada philosophy. And here is the Shuddha Advaita, which is pure non-dualism, and which is a Vaishnava lineage. And basically, this Shuddha Advaita just means that it is focusing on the Abheda aspect, which is there in the Achintya Bheda, Bheda. We have the Bheda and the Abheda simultaneously. And there are verses which in the scriptures that do talk about the Bheda, and there are verses that do talk about the Abheda. And the Shuddha Advaita talks about the pure non-dualism aspect of it. And then and there are two aspects of this lineage from Vishnu Swami that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is taken and appreciated. In fact, he took two principles from every sampradaya, including the Sri Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, which is coming through Lord Shiva. So it is Krishna shares the knowledge to Lord Shiva, and then through him the lineage comes down. So in that sampradaya, there are two things which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took, and one is the sentiment of total dependence on Krishna, and the other is the path of spontaneous devotional service. So the followers in the Vallabhacharya's lineage, they have Krishna is worshipped as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is widely worshipped. And this pathway right now is called as Pushti Mark. And one of their epicenters of centers of worship, main centers of worship is the temple of Srinath Ji in Northwest India. And this deed was before on top of the Govardhan Hill being worshipped as Gopala when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. So that's a background of Vallabhacharya. So why is he now coming and speaking with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this verse? Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us that he has met Mahaprabhu twice. And once he had the darshan of Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in during his Mahaprabhu's trip in to Mathura, Vrindavan. During the trip on the way, he saw once Mahaprabhu, and this is the second time Vallabhacharya is taking a is having is coming to meet Mahaprabhu, and that is in Jagannath Puri. So let's go to the second learning objective of this morning, and that is to explain the glories of the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So Haridas Thakur is he said once, why is someone so doubtful about the holy names? In fact, the revealed scriptures say that one can attain liberation simply by the glimpse of offenseless chanting of the holy name. So the holy name of Krishna is transcendental and should be never considered a material sound vibration. The holy name has absolutely nothing to do with the mundane world of matter. So the holy name is not a combination of material letters. So this means that the form of the holy name is such that although we are uttering with our material mouth, we are uttering the holy name when we are uttering the holy name in this world, but still the holy name does not belong to this material universe at all. The name Krishna is not a product of material world. It is not some Sanskrit syllable language or something that is not a product of the material world, and is only a liberated soul can purely pronounce the transcendental name. So it is not some material combinations of letters. So we had discussed this previously when Prabhupada gives the analogy about the relative world in which we live. He says, for example, that the word water and the substance water are very different. That means that if someone is thirsty and if they can simply keep chanting water, 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 and so on, the thirst is not going to be quenched. In contrast, Krishna's holy name is full of mercy, the full of compassion, full of affection, it's full of mellow, full of love, and it's the rarest treasure in this world. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnaha Shuddho Nitya Mukto Bhinnatva Nama Namino. Nama Chintamani. So it means that this holy name of Krishna is a it's transcendental, wish-fueling gem. Okay, it's a Chintamani. Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It is the embodiment of all consciousness and sentiments. So, rasa vigraha, okay, and this is full. It's the embodiment of the sentiments, and it's complete. Purnaha, it's complete. Shuddho, that means it's pure, and it's ever free, because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are one and the same. Bhinnatvan nama namino. So that means that there is no difference between Krishna and his name. So since Krishna's name is not contained, it's not contaminated by any material qualities, there is no question of Krishna being involved with Maya. So Krishna's name, so what is that we understand about the holy names is that the Krishna's name is always liberated, and it is spiritual, and it's never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because Krishna, the name Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. And this has been explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 17.133. So this means that Krishna Nama, Krishna's name, has been accepted as an incarnation of Lord Krishna on the earth. Although it appears like just the word Krishna, its power is inconceivable and it's entirely spiritual. So the name is a special incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Vata. Chaitanya Charitamrita says in the same Madhyalila, 17 chapter, verse 22, that the holy name of Krishna, this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, is very much how Krishna has descended, Krishna's avatar in this age of Kali. And that the entire universe is delivered just by chanting the holy name. So in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says, Vichitra Leela Rasa Sagarasya, Prabhor Vichitrat Spurithat Prasadat. Vichitra Sankirtana Madhurisa Natu Swad Yatnad Idi Sadhu Siddhihet. So this is basically that in this age of Kali, the descent of the holy name of Krishna in the terms of the Mahamantra itself is the incarnation of Krishna delivered to deliver the souls in this age. So this verse that's cited in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is actually from, which I cited now, is actually from Brihad Naradiya Purana. And it was also quoted by Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and later it was cited in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So only by the wonderful mercy of the Lord, who's a nectar, who's a nect, who, his, it's the names are just nectarian. That is charming sweetness of the holy name is manifest. In fact, if we look at the scriptures, everywhere in the scripture, all we find is the name of Krishna. Vede, Ramayane, cha Purane, Bharate, tatha adau madhye cha antye cha Hari sarvatra giyate. So this verse, it appears in the Harivamsa Purana, and there are versions of it even in the Garuda Purana. And with some minor modifications to this verse, and then Madhvacharya cites this from Garuda Purana, and later as it has been cited by Jiva Goswami extensively in all his sandarbhas, and it is also cited at least 2 to 3 times, I think, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the verse says, "Vede Ramayane cha Purane Bharate tatha." So in the Vedas, if you take the Vedas, if you take the Ramayana, if you take the Puranas, if you take the Mahabharata, although in the beginning of all these scriptures, in the middle, Madhyecha, Antyecha, in the end, Hari Sarvatra Giyate, everywhere Hari is being sung. And there are some verses which, some variations of this verse, which says Vishnu Sarvatra Giyate, but the message is still the same. Throughout the Vedas, so Ramayana, Purana, Mahabharata, wherever we take, from beginning to end, what we can see is the glories of the Supreme Lord Hari is being sung. So, the goal of our chanting is that at some point of time, we will be able to chant the names of Krishna purely. And that is called as Shuddha Nama or pure name. So, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in his Jaiva Dharma, he defines what is the pure name. So we can assess for ourselves if we have ever chanted the name of Krishna purely, even once. So in Jaiva Dharma, he defines Shuddha Nama as the name of Krishna that is free from 10 kinds of offenses, which are the Nama Prad. The 10 offenses we don't commit. In addition to the 10 offenses, inattentive chanting is accompanies all these 10 offenses anyway. So although this does not sound difficult, one may be chanting continuously. So even if somebody is able to, they're chanting offenselessly, and the symptoms of such a chanting may be even be visible on their body. For example, sometimes the hairs on the body stand on one end. There might be streams of tears flowing from one's eyes. But it may still be that because of the offenses, he's not uttering the pure name. So just because we have somebody has some external symptoms, it does not mean that they are uttering the pure name. So external manifestations are not any, they don't provide the phenotype for Shuddhanama. So that means that the pure name means, number one, chanting the holy name of Krishna with a favorable attitude. So that means that we don't chant with an attitude which is not favorable. Okay, so while remaining free from all material desires and from the covering of any contamination from knowledge, jnana, karma, and siddhi. All these contaminations, which are all soft coverings and which can mix with this beautiful creeper called as the Bhakti Lata, and there can be tinges of all these mixing: knowledge with devotion, karma with devotion, siddhi with devotion, and all these contaminations need to go. Okay, and then so there are three aspects for chanting the pure name. One is favorable attitude. Number two, remaining free from all material desires. Okay, there is no any desire extraneous to the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, that we want something in this, we want some kind of misery to go away, we want some kind of material benefit. All those things, it needs to be free from all material desires and from any soft covering of jnana, karma, siddhi. So all these things need to go. So what is an example of so siddhi means that different kinds of yogic powers that one can obtain at the end of during that process. So in this way, all those things need to be, bhakti has to be free from all these things. So to desire the supreme bliss that comes when the transcendental nature of the holy name, so in this way, this is called anya abhilash. So it means that there's no extraneous desire. So at that time, the transcendental nature of the holy name will manifest. So the pure name will never manifest in the presence of extraneous desires. Okay, any extraneous desire, it will never manifest. So one will not receive the pure name as long as he desires the fruits of karma, jnana, yoga. So there are fruits for all these things. Okay, so there are fruits for following properly the karma yoga, the jnana yoga, the ashtanga yoga, all these yogas. There are fruits for manifesting all the, there are fruits for all these yogas, but none of these, the pure name will not manifest in any of these. So the pure name, Shuddhanama, it arises when one accepts the holy name with only favorable inclinations and rejecting all the unfavorable emotions from the heart. That means with careful deliberation, one can realize that the pure name of Krishna is certainly that name which is free of two things. One is chanting the pure name is free of offenses, okay, which is called as Naam Aparad, the 10 offenses of chanting the holy names of Krishna. And it also avoids semblance of chanting called as Naam Abhash. So what is Naam Abhash? We had covered this actually in a previous lecture. For example, Ajamila, when he had called his son, who had the name of the Lord, Narayana, at that time, even though Ajamila was not calling the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana, he was calling his son Narayana. But that chanting of the holy name, Narayana, was free of all offenses. Was free of all offenses. That means it's free. It was free of nama aparad. No, none of the 10 offenses and inattentiveness was there in that. But he was still not calling the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. It was only a semblance. There was a semblance. It's a semblance, but it is free of offense. And that is called Namabhash. And Namabhash is even more powerful because it is free of all offenses. And even though Ajamila was calling his son Narayana, but still the Vishnu Dutas came and protected Ajamila from the clutches of death, from the Yamadutas, and it in fact gave him an additional opportunity of living for another set of years and reforming and progressing further in Krishna consciousness and before ascending to the Vaikuntha planetary systems. In that way, the pure name, so neither the 10 offenses, the Nama Parad, chanting the holy names of Krishna with offenses, nor the Nam Abhash, which is the semblance of chanting the holy name, neither of this is Shuddha Nam. So that means both of this have to be, we have to transcend not creating any offenses and also not having any semblance to the chanting of the holy name, and then move towards the pure name. So that means chanting the pure name Shuddha Nama is never a mechanical act. Okay, it's never a mechanical act. That means that a skillful speaker, so one may think, okay, so I'm having an amazing pronunciation of Sanskrit, and therefore I will clearly pronounce the names of Krishna so well in this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So one may be a skillful speaker with correct intonation, but the pronunciation or the intonation has no relevance as far as Krishna is concerned, because it is never a mechanical act. And however one pronounces these things, it simply doesn't matter, because the name Krishna does not belong to this material world. The Krishna is a pure spiritual name and it entirely belongs to the spiritual world. And therefore, there is Krishna takes, for Krishna understands however we pronounce it, Krishna takes it. And it's not just a simple of simply a mechanical act. So the ability to chant the pure name is an act of the way. Why is it that some people are even able to chant? Is because of the divine grace bestowed upon those devotees who have saturated their minds and hearts with devotion. So for them, they will be able to chant the pure name. Why are only some people able to chant the pure name? Many people are able to chant, but they are not chanting the pure name. But who is able to chant the pure name? The person who is able to chant the pure name, it's simply by the divine grace of Krishna, bestowed upon Krishna's devotees who have saturated their minds. So they have no other desire, and their hearts, all they have in their heart is their devotion towards Krishna. So when one is free from all misgivings on any offenses, okay, they have no offense, the pure name of Krishna will descend into one's heart. And where does it descend from? It descends from the capital of the Vaikuntha planetary systems called as the Vraja Gokul. So from Vraja Gokul, the name Krishna will descend. And at this stage, there is no other desire in the heart except acting for the pleasure of Krishna. So Anya Abhilasha Shunyam. Okay, so that means at this stage, there is no desire in the heart. The only desire is to whatever one does it for the pleasure of Krishna. And at this stage, the pure name, this chanting of the pure name or the Shuddha Nama is the perfection stage of chanting, where a devotee sees Krishna personally dancing on his tongue. So everyone has a spiritual form, siddha deha. So we have, we see the material body, but our true spirit has a spiritual body, and that spiritual body is manifest. And when one chants the pure name, the spiritual tongue of the spiritual body will chant the holy names of Krishna and will dance on one's tongue. Remember that the material tongue can never chant the holy names of Krishna. It just looks like as though we are chanting, but actually we are not chanting the holy names of Krishna at all with the material tongue, because the holy names of Krishna can only be chanted by the spiritual body, because the name Krishna entirely belongs to the Vaikuntha planetary systems or the spiritual world. At that time, from Vrajagokul, the name Krishna will descend. And by such pure chanting, one can realize one's spiritual form. Okay? And in whichever form, when the form of Krishna that they are, that the person is seeing, Krishna manifests in that form and attains, and that person will attain the final goal of all this chanting, which is called as Prayojana, and that is love of Krishna. In fact, the Vedanta Sutra, it has four chapters. The first chapter provides an introduction. The second, third, and the fourth chapter, they deal with these three subject matter called as Sambandha, which is the relationship of the individual living entity, the Jiva soul, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are three entities here metaphysically. One is the living soul, the Jiva soul, the individual living entity. The second one here is the super soul and Bhagavan. So one is the super soul, and then you have Bhagavan is the personality of Godhead. And then the third is the matter. So what is the relationship between the living entity, matter, and God, Ishvara? So this relationship is what is called a Sambandha. And then the next one is Abhideya, which is the process by which one can understand this relationship. Okay. And then the last one is Prayojana. And so the goal here is the love of Krishna. So what is the effect? So how would you know that? How would you ever know that you're chanting the pure name of Krishna? Have you ever chanted the name of Krishna, the Shuddha Nama, even once in all the lifetimes? Okay, the previous lifetimes probably, so in this lifetime, we can see whether we have chanted the pure name even once. So that means if one has got rid of all the offenses and there's no semblance of chanting, and then if you are able to chant the pure name on that day, then the individual soul accepts the pure name. Okay, the pure name will, when they chant the pure name even once, the first effect would be the sum total of all our karma will be destroyed. It is the manifest and the unmanifest, the prarabdha, aprarabdha, all the karma will be destroyed. The sum total of all the karma will be destroyed by chanting the pure name even once. So if we think that we have not, we are still entangled in this material universe, and we are still facing all the reactions for our material activities, that means that we have not chanted the holy name of Krishna even once purely. So the karma is endless, and since we have lived in the material universe since time immemorial, there is no practical way for really getting rid of all this prarabdha and aprarabdha karma other than the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And therefore, even Purva Mimamsa scriptures, they in fact completely say that probably there is really no way even to get out of this material universe. And one is the Karmakanda sections are the pinnacle, because there is really no way to get rid of all these, and one is entangled in this cycle of birth and death for eternity. But The Vedanta Sutra is very clear that there is a method for getting liberated out of the material existence. And the goal of the Vaishnavas is to not just get liberated from the material existence, but it is about the pure love of God. The call is Krishna Prema. So the first time one says the word Krishna purely, they get rid of all their karma. And the second time they narrate the word, they say the word Krishna in a pure way, the love of Krishna will arise. Until then, there is no Krishna. There is no love of Krishna. One may say they have all kinds of symptoms. They may even have some tears while chanting and everything, but none of that is actually Krishna Prema at all. So we have to be very careful about these kind of any kind of external manifestations, and so Chaitanya. So this regarding the holy name, there is a verse actually in Chaitanya Chandramrita which says, even if one chants wonderfully, if we chant the holy names, even if we chant the whole wonderfully the holy names of Lord Krishna, and even if we meditate on the brilliant and charming form of Krishna, which creates auspiciousness for the entire world. So why is this world so inauspicious right now? If you take a look at this world, it appears extremely inauspicious. That's because there is one is hardly few people are even meditating on the brilliant and charming transcendental form of Krishna. So as soon as the world meditates on the beautiful form of Krishna, all auspiciousness will be bestowed on this world. So you still cannot hope to attain the splendid nectar of pure love of Krishna if the merciful glance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has not fallen on you. So even if you may chant, you may meditate on the beautiful form of Krishna, but still one cannot hope to get the pure love of Krishna unless one has had the merciful glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much is the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let's go to the last learning objective of today, and then we will leave some time for discussion. So the last learning objective that I want to do today is, why is it that many devotees, when they have seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the magical effect that they have faced on when they see when they come in the presence of Lord Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So this can actually be seen in the numerous biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can see some, many of these symptoms being exhibited. What happens in front of Mahaprabhu. So, in fact, Prabodhananda Saraswati himself, who is the author of a very great book called as Vrindavana Mahimamrita, he himself says that Samsara Sindhu Tarane Hridayam Yadishyat. Samsara Sindhu, that means this ocean of material existence, Tarane, that means if we want to cross this ocean of material existence, Hridayam Yadishyat, so the heart is wishing to cross the ocean of material existence. Sankirtanamrita, so in the nectar of Krishna Sankirtan, rase manaschet, if our mind wants to float in the nectar of Krishna Sankirtan, premambudo deharane, if we yadi chitta vritti, so if our consciousness wants to reside, biharane, reside in the ocean of Krishna Prema, Chaitanya Chandra Charanam Sharanam Prayatu. Please surrender unto the beautiful moon-like Lord Chaitanya. So he says, if one's heart is set on crossing beyond this ocean, so what is this verse? If our heart is set on crossing this ocean of repeated birth and death, we have seen this birth and death time and again. But if one's heart relishes to have the sweet nectar of Krishna Sankirtan, if one's heart yearns to swim in the ocean of pure love of Krishna, then one should take the shelter of Lord Gaurachandra's feet, that is Chaitanya Chandra's feet. So So much is the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that even so even if so if one's heart is set on crossing, so even if one Rupa Goswami, he says Namo Maha Badanyaya. Namo Maha Badanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratushe Namaha. So that means Namo Maha Badanyaya. So we have seen many times in our world, we have seen people who are very munificent, very generous. So who are very munificent people who are generous? They may build hospitals. They may build schools. They may help people. They may help feeding the community. All these are amazing acts, and they are called munificent. Very, 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 very wonderful qualities. But Rupa Goswami says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahavadhanyaya. Mahavadhanyaya means the most munificent. And why is that? Krishna Prema Pradayate. Because he gives the most needed thing for the society, which is love of Krishna. Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more merciful than Krishna himself. Because even Krishna, he had so many things which he said in the Bhagavad Gita. And in fact, a lot of it is very difficult to follow. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has so freely distributed this love of Krishna. Because if he started, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started putting so many conditions about surrendering to the Lord, then hardly anyone would be able to even move towards Krishna. So that we can see in the forest, in the Jharkhand forest, that we can see that even animals, they danced for the names of Krishna. By just looking at Lord Chaitanya, even animals could chant and dance for the holy name. So is the effect that even great boulders have melted. Okay, so it says even great boulders have melted. And even those whose hearts are fixed in non-devotional yoga, it might be fixed in Hatha yoga, or it might be fixed in Dhyana yoga with no taste for Krishna at all. Even those people's heart melt and dance in the ecstasy for love of Krishna. So the Prabodhananda Saraswati in his Chaitanya Chandramita, he captures when he saw Mahaprabhu, he captures in two of the verses some of the things that he felt when devotees are in the presence of Mahaprabhu. And Prabodhananda Saraswati says that the whole world is now suddenly flooded by the nectarian waters of the ocean of pure love for Krishna. So now, and then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, the whole world was inundated with the ocean of love for Krishna. And now there is suddenly a great wonder of symptoms of ecstatic love that has never been seen or heard before. So the scriptures say so many things that what are the different symptoms of those who are exhibiting these ecstatic symptoms of love of Krishna, but they have never been seen before. And but now that those ecstatic symptoms, you know, that they've been fully manifested. Whatever is there in the scriptures, they've been manifested by the personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So and all this has suddenly appeared because Krishna himself has descended in the form as splendid as gold. So even though Vallabha Bhatta, in these verses that we spoke about in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, even though his understanding is not as exalted as that of Prabodhananda Saraswati, because he's still talking about Vallabha Bhatta, he's still talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an exalted personality, but he's just not talking about Mahaprabhu in the mood of Prabodhananda Saraswati, because as in the first few verses, one would observe that Vallabha Bhatta is still not surrendered and to the personality of Godhead. And at the end of this chapter, you would find that he actually takes initiation from Gadadhara Pandit and progresses towards Krishna. And therefore, all the symptoms today, if there is any chanting of the holy name of Krishna in this world, it is because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because there are many, many Vaishnavas even who appeared on this planet even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. But all of them have indirectly preached in so many ways the glories of Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has directly given the prime external mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Nama Sankirtam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranasham Amamu Dukkha Shamanaha Tam Namami Harim Param. The chanting of the holy names of Krishna is the prerequisite for anything that if we want to take any step in the spiritual world, in the spiritual direction. So, and Prabodhananda Saraswati also says that although in the past, so whatever I said right now is actually clarified by Prabodhananda Saraswati in his Chaitanya Chandramritam. He says many very pious and religious persons, they have attained great success of entering Vaikuntha planetary. So many people have entered Vaikuntha. Many people before, because there's three Vaishnavas, there are so many saints there who have entered the Vaikuntha. So many people have entered Vaikuntha. But until the advent of Lord Chaitanya, the world has never been flooded in this way of the pure love of Krishna. That wherever by just so we may take so much effort by to share our whatever we have learned, whatever little that we have learned about Krishna, we take a lot of effort to even to share that with other living entities. And by the grace of the Lord, by the because of the super soul in their heart, one may turn towards Krishna consciousness. However, Lord Chaitanya was not like that. Just his sight, just his presence, that was enough. And the world has never been flooded in that way with pure love of Krishna. That's why it says Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya. It was so flooded with Krishna's love that we have to see this, take this a little carefully, because all the disciples of Mahaprabhu, they're all not some ordinary living entities. They're all great Mahajanas. So Advaita Acharya and all, they're all not people who can just be Swarupa Damodar. They're all not people who can just be who will take some kind of something which is nonsense. They won't take all those things. So that means if such exalted personalities have been influenced to this level, what to speak about? So that is the glory of Mahaprabhu. The exalted personalities have to be able to say, not that some layman in the who has no spiritual knowledge whatsoever, if that person comes and says, oh, here is some God, personality of Godhead, that is not something, that is not a symptom of finding who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are two or three primary things which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says in the Madhya Lila. And the first one is that the scriptures need to say who is this, when the Lord descends. Number two, it's manifest in the activities of the person, whether the person is turning them towards Krishna or whether they are just keeping them incessantly in this material universe or doing some, or the message is completely irrelevant to the Vedic scriptures. And then the third message is the great souls, the Mahajanas, have to admit that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all the people who at that time when Mahaprabhu was there, all these people, Prabodhananda Sir, they're all great personalities, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were all great personalities who have descended along with the Lord, with the Lord always descends along with this paraphernalia. When they all descended together, they have spread the holy names of Krishna and the love of Godhead. So with this, I will end the discussion here. And so today we spoke about who's Vallabha Bhatta. We spoke about the glories of chanting the holy names of Krishna. And we spoke about the effect of the personal presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as felt by his devotees. So in this way, so at this time, I'm going to stop and open this conversation for questions and discussion. And I offer my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas who are assembled on this call. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. And I again thank you for offering this opportunity to share about these pastimes from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I will mute my phone, and this is open for discussion. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Wait one second. Okay. Can you hear me? Hare
Yes,
Krishna?
Mataji. Yes, it's a little not very loud, but I can hear you.
Oh. Okay. Let's see. I don't know why. I don't know. Am I still not loud?
It's okay. It's okay, Mataji. It's okay.
Okay, yes. So, a couple questions, and thank you as usual for a fascinating class. You spoke of the fact that when we chant the name with the soft coverings of jnana, karma, or yoga, then I think that might be nama bas. You know, Krishna won't descend into the syllables if we chant with these kinds of desires in our mind. So when it comes to the soft covering of karma yoga, I'm just wondering how that could be characterized as a soft covering. Because when I think of karma yoga, I think of, well, if you're using it in the sense of like karma kanda type thing, you know, where you're wanting, you know, chanting because you want some material benefit. Like, I don't know, you want your daughter married, you want a new house, you want, you know, a new car, you want things, you know. So if that's what you mean by chanting with the soft covering of karma yoga, that doesn't sound very soft to me. It sounds gross. So I was wondering if you could explain that.
Oh, no, that's correct, Mataji. That's not, what you're saying is not even karma yoga at all. I mean, it's just basic karma in the material sense, because the karma yoga is any yoga is only connected with Krishna. The word yoga is related to the, as we all know, is related to the English word called as yoke, YOLK. And that's where the English word yoke comes from. That means with, so it
well,
has
it's YOKE. In English, is because YOLK is
yoke,
the
yoke,
egg.
Sorry, YOKE. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
So it has to be connected with anything has to be connected with Krishna. So whether it's karma yoga or jnana yoga or the ashtanga yoga, they all have to be connected with Krishna somehow, because without Krishna there is no yoga. And therefore, when we are doing basic karma activities and when they are being done for the pleasure of Krishna, that is called as karma yoga. However, in contrast, bhakti yoga does not have, pure bhakti yoga does not have to do anything with the basic karma activities that we're doing in this world. Even they're not being done, for example, the pure bhakti yoga activities, they're all entirely connected with Krishna. They are not connected with doing, let's say that we are doing something, let's say that we are doing some activity at our home, but we are doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, because Krishna has given us this particular situation. We're doing that for the sake of Krishna. That is karma yoga. That it is, we are still doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, but it's still karma yoga. But then in pure devotion, there is no such extraneous things that are extraneous. It's purely for the pleasure of Krishna. It's all things that Krishna wants. It's all things that Krishna. What is it? How can we simply be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, entirely do with what Krishna wants. That is pure devotion. So that means that you can actually see, so for example, Arjuna himself, there was mixing of a bunch of things. There was mixing when he was fighting in the battle of Kurukshetra. There was a mixing of karma yoga, mixing of jnana yoga. So jnana, karma, everything was mixed, mishra. It is mixed with devotion. So even though he was doing all that for Krishna, it is not pure bhakti yoga. It's not pure devotional service because it was mixed.
Okay, so I need to get a little more clarification here. So even though you're performing some karma purely for Krishna's sake, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still considered somehow mixed. But it's like a contradiction. I mean to say, like Arjuna, right? He was fighting on the battlefield and he was doing it strictly because Krishna wanted him to. So where was the mix there?
Because he was still performing an activity in that nature. For example, it was jnana. It's a devotion. He's doing a devotional activity. Karma yoga is a devotional activity. So we shouldn't mistake that karma yoga is not bhakti yoga. Karma yoga is part of the bhakti yoga. In the ladder, in the yoga ladder, the bhakti yoga is on the top. So that means that the bhakti yoga comprises karma yoga. It comprises jnana yoga. It comprises all this ashtanga yoga. Everything, it comprises everything. But still, that is not pure devotional service. That's not pure bhakti yoga. The reason is, I'll give you an example. We'll take a little, just take a little comparison between the activity performed by Arjuna, which is, even though he was performing it entire, the reason why it is even called karma, jnana, mixed with bhakti itself is because he was doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. There is no question of yoga unless you are even doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. But let's contrast it with the activity of Rupa Goswami. The activity of Rupa Goswami, which was entirely purely in the bhakti yoga, because he was writing those scriptures, everything for the pure pleasure of Krishna, in an entirely for whatever activity he was doing, feeding the deities or any other devotee. Let's take Bilva Mangala Thakur, who went to Vrindavan and wrote this. And then he interacted with Krishna extensively, even though he blinded himself. And he interacted with Krishna extensively. That is all pure devotion. So pure bhakti yoga. So that has to be distinct. The devotion of the gopis is pure devotion. So we can distinguish it. We can just look at the gopis and we can look at Arjuna. So we can see the difference there. The devotion
of
gopis is pure devotion, it's pure bhakti.
Okay, so the way it seems, the way this distinction seems to be coming to me is that karma yoga, even when it's being done purely for Krishna, if it's the type of activity that can be done for selfish reasons, then we call that, even though you don't do it for like Arjuna with the fighting, right? He could have fought the same way for the sake of his own enjoyment, you know, for some fruitive reason. Or he could have done it for Krishna, the same fighting. So if an activity falls into such a category where it can be done either for selfish reasons or for Krishna's reasons, then we call it, then it can come under the category of karma yoga. Whereas if an activity can only be done for Krishna, like deity worship or chanting, you know, like Rupa Goswami's work, writing of the scriptures, if it's something that can't really be done for selfish reasons so much, then it can be called purely bhakti. Is that accurate?
That is not true, Mataji. Because okay. I'll give you an example. Let's say that the gopis of Vrindavan, they are also milking the cows. They are also involved in various household activities, but it is still that is pure bhakti yoga. They're also involved in so many activities. You can also have, the contrast is, let's say that somebody is dressing up the deities. Okay. It doesn't mean that they are also doing pure bhakti yoga, because they might be doing it for so many reasons. So
Yeah,
just the
prestige or
activity,
something.
it's just not possible to say. It is the consciousness. It is the consciousness in which they are performing the activities which can say whether there is mixture of knowledge. Or like, for example, if somebody is the gopis or the Vrindavan, or for them, it does not matter whether they are. It may be extraneously, it might be looking like they are milking some cows, or they're taking care of something, but whether there is a cow or not, it really doesn't even matter to them. For them, all that matters, all that they could see, was Krishna, because that is called as the complete Krishna consciousness. So that is so from is that an answer, Mataji?
No, because if it's the consciousness which determines whether it's karma yoga or pure bhakti yoga, then why wouldn't Arjuna's fighting be, why wouldn't that constitute as pure bhakti yoga? His consciousness was only for Krishna.
So there are a couple of things here, Mataji. So one is the Bhagavad Gita itself. It's not like Arjuna already didn't know all those things. So the whole thing happened because through the medium of Arjuna, Krishna is saying all those things to the people. So Arjuna is only helping the whole the Bhagavad Gita, to be given to the mass. So, but when we take a look at the activities of Arjuna in Mahabharata during the war, so you would observe that that devotional service is mixed with. So even though we are, because the Bhagavatam doesn't say much about, we don't, it's not focused much on Arjuna, because it is post Mahabharata. But then if you read the Mahabharata during the war, any of the parvas, Bhishma parva, Drona parva, if you take the Karna parva, whatever parva you take and read it, you will actually see that it's mixed with knowledge and karma.
Yeah.
But whatever it is still part of Bhakti Yoga. So we don't have, I think we're, it might, all these might just be technicalities. It is, but
No, but
still.
I think it's an important point to make distinction between pure bhakti and karma yoga, you know. I mean,
Arjuna's is also Bhakti Yoga. It's just that it has the soft covering of knowledge and karma.
yeah, I'm sorry, Prabhu. I mean, my problem is still, calling, the work that Arjuna performed as somehow mixed, even though it's partly bhakti, but to say that it's partly karma, when his consciousness was pure, I don't see if his consciousness was pure. I mean, just going by what you yourself said, it's the consciousness that determines the purity of an activity. And so, if his consciousness was pure in performing that action, I don't understand why it's not considered pure bhakti yoga.
I'll give you some examples, Mataji. Then the best way to answer these things, to clarify ourselves, is to directly see what is there in the scripture itself. So the scripture here is the Mahabharata. So the Mahabharata gives the answers to these things. So when we look at the activities of Arjuna, even during the war, it is Bhakti Yoga, but then his interactions, the different symptoms exhibited, and whatever you take, whether it is to do with the passing away of his son Abhimanyu or anything, you will see that there is a mixture. It is not like whatever happens, it's that taking entirely the war out of the mind. And because you can draw a contrast between, that is the reason why the love of the gopis is still considered the supreme. So when we see the conversation of Ramananda Rai So with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will see that there are gradations in
yes.
the love of Godhead. And the same way, in the gradations, also somewhere or the other associated with these mixtures. Mixtures with, so, and Srimati Radharani is the person who is at the highest stage, highest thing in that conversation. Therefore, so there are two ways to look at this. One is our interpretation of Arjuna and his consciousness and what we think Arjuna's consciousness is versus what the Mahabharata says. So we may think, I'm not saying anything. Arjuna is an exalted personality. It's very clear. It's nowhere near anything what we even know, since he's already in such an unimaginably high state, because that's why it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita itself. Yatra Yoheshwaro Krishno, Yatra Partho Dhanudraha. Wherever there is Arjuna and wherever there is Krishna, the master of all the yogas, Yogeshwara, there all the opulence will be there. So that means that the effect of Krishna and Arjuna is very clear, as Naranarayana Rishi and Arjuna and Krishna, the effect, it's so clear. But nevertheless, there is a difference. So the way to answer all these questions is to not go by our mental speculation of what the consciousness of different of different people who have interacted, different great living beings who have interacted with Krishna is, but rather go with what the scriptures say. And because when we read the Mahabharata, we will understand why the, because for, it is not for some flimsy reason that it is said that the gopis of the Vrindavan have the topmost devotion out of all. And so, but there is some reason for that. And there is also a reason for saying Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. That Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form from Braja Gokul, in fact, does not even leave Vrindavan. So, is that okay, Mataji?
Well, I mean to say, you know, the only thing I understand from this is that, you know, there are different levels of purity. You know, it's not just black or white, you know, but you know, that the original question for me is still unanswered, but I do appreciate, you know, your effort to try and clarify. Thank you, Guru.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, I just would like to make a clarification. Actually, from what I've heard and read, Arjuna is doing pure bhakti yoga. And examples of Jnana Mishra is given specifically by Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam. Maitreya Muni was a Jnana Mishra Bhakti Yogi, like that. But I've never heard Arjuna being a Karma Mishra Bhakti Yogi so far. So
no, ma'am, I didn't say Karma Mishra. It is Jnana Karma Mishra.
Yeah, I've not heard that properly. So that's why I'm also kind of surprised. But thanks for the nice discussion, because I don't think it's mentioned as far as my knowledge is concerned. He's in pure bhakti yoga because he's in satya rasa with Krishna, and he's just doing the words what Krishna advised him to do. So it's in pure bhakti yoga.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this very wonderful class, Prabhuji. As usual, your classes are very enlightening. Hare Krishna devotees, are there any questions for Prabhuji? Or else we can end the class. Okay, once again, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripasindu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai, Namachara Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, His Grace Jayananda Gaurang Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Prabhuji.